News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage in association with AIR.
Uisce Éireann have announced this morning there's going to be a hosepipe ban on six counties until the end of August, but the bad news is it's now being extended everywhere nationwide as pressure continues on water supply. A little earlier we spoke with Brian O'Leary, who is the Regional Water Operations Manager for the Southwest Region for Uisce Éireann, who explained the decision.
The national extension to the Water Conservation Order, it's been introduced really to help protect our public water supplies, both now and in the weeks and months ahead, so that we can ensure that when people turn on their taps that they have a reliable supply. And that applies not just to domestic homes, but also to, you know, to the commercial sector, to businesses, hospitals, farms and essential services. And the recent hot weather, as you mentioned there, which is set to continue with little or no rain and warm temperatures, that has seen exceptionally high demand across the country, and that's putting huge pressure on our sources, but also our treatment plants and our networks. And while ourselves in Uisce Éireann are taking all measures possible to keep water flowing by, you know, maximising the plant outputs and repairing leaks and tanking water to reservoirs, the nationwide water conservation order, really, it's an appeal to all customers just to be mindful of their water usage. And by taking measures such as, you know, turning off the taps when brushing teeth, taking shorter showers, putting away the hose and using a watering can.
Paul Davis is lecturer in public procurement at DCU. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Jonathan.
One of the things I found fascinating in that interview with Brian O'Leary was that while it is necessary to conserve water supply, we're still losing 35% of treated water to leaks in the system. And that is extremely frustrating.
It is, and it's worse outside Dublin. We're up to 41%. So in the greater Dublin area, it's approximately 32%. So when we take an average, he comes out as 35%. But I think we've got to look at this as not just a Dublin region area. It's now nationwide. And we know we've had heavy rain over the spring, but we've got leaks in the system and no way of storing of the water that we've built up. This is something that we've known. I think it was... We've a network of about 65,000 kilometres of pipe, and the average age is 75 to 95 years, more than double the EU average. So, you know, it's not something that's just popped out of nowhere. We've known this for a long time, and we've known we've got population increases for a long time. We've also debated whether we've had climate change, but we actually do know climate change is here and we're going to have warmer summers. So this isn't particularly new. I'm just surprised that the way it's now phrased is that we want to retain water supply into the later parts of the year. And I think that's the important part here. People need to understand that the national hosepipe ban isn't just about now. It's to actually contain the water supply so that we actually have sufficient water later in the year. That's probably the piece that people may be missing.
And that's probably the alarm that we need to hear, as opposed to the alarm we think we hear. This isn't about having water at the end of August. It's making sure that, God forbid, if it doesn't rain that much in the next couple of months, that the taps are still flowing at Christmas.
Absolutely. And I think that the idea that, yeah, we've seen heavy rain and we're a very wet country doesn't solve the problem of the infrastructure deficit that we actually have. Look, there's multiple ways to get water. We rely on freshwater sources. Our freshwater sources over the period has dropped. We know that during the spring period, there was higher rainfall in the west and lower rainfall in the east than the average yearly amount. With that happening and then adding in the climate change, we're now seeing particularly low water levels throughout. We have to look at alternatives. And alternatives, one of them is the Shannon Dublin waterway, but we're now drawing from the west where we know we are now facing the same problem.
But I'm just going to say, I've always considered that as robbing Peter to pay Paul. It doesn't solve the problem in the east and it creates a problem in the west.
It does. And we're using close enough to 80% of our supply for Dublin is coming out of the River Liffey, which is probably falling in levels as well, along with the Poolavooka Reservoir. So we have to look at alternatives. Look, I was reading recently, Portugal has just put in their first desalination plant in the Algarve. And I've spoken of this and said, it's not a solution for us. It's part of the solution. So smarter reuse of water, fixing the pipes, but then looking at other options. And as I said, Portugal are literally building a project down in the Algarve. It's about 107 million, 108 million. And it will cover 20% of the Algarve's current water use. So they're building something that's going to serve around 470,000 people. They'll have it built in less than 24 months. It'll be operational by 2028. But it is being used as a resilience piece. And this is the part that we're missing, resilience. Make sure that we have water when we need it, not make sure that we have water when we actually get it, which is the difference.
But I'm going back to the leaks. And if we're leaking 41% in certain parts of the country, down to 32% in others.
Correct.
The solution is to put in proper infrastructure. The problem, of course, is that politicians are very rarely there for the ribbon cutting on a pipe, but they're not willing to invest in it. We are going and having the same circular argument that we had 20 years ago, Paul, and nobody is moving forward here.
But it's not just the leaks. It's also in terms of, as we build new houses, we add more infrastructure, and then we put more pressure back on the systems that are there and the older pipes that we connect into. So we've got to solve this by a range of different measures. And as I said, yeah, leaks are really important. But one of the big problems is detecting where the leak is. So I think it was even in the hosepipe ban they're suggesting, will you keep an eye out for if there's a leak? Because the pressure increases on the pipe as we reduce down the water in it. For some strange reason, the pipes expand during heat. Certainly that's something that we should know from science. But in expanding, we tend to get cracks. When we get cracks, we get further leaks. But we won't notice that until the water pressure builds back up again. So we're actually seeing a failure of a system, as I said, that's 75 to 95 years old in parts and not replacing it. Look, long-term solution is that we need to get smart reuse of water. We need to look at different types of infrastructure, and we need to repair the leaks. But all of it has to be done. It's not just one piece, all of it.
John Cork has a good text here, Paul. He says, I lived in Western Australia for 9 years. It's basically a desert state with significantly less rainfall than we have. Yet when you drive around in the small hours of the morning, every irrigation sprinkler and every garden park, right, public place is in full swing. How can a place like that have better water supply than us? It rains in some parts of Ireland 250 days a year. How can we be so stupid as to not catch more of that water?
Problem with it is it takes time for the water catchment to flow through, and then we have to build larger reservoirs. But if you then add in that we have to then pump it from the west of the country to the east of the country where we have our major population centres, there are other solutions. And as I said, for me, one of the solutions is looking at a distributed network similar to our electricity, whereby we have a range of different solutions for each of the regions. So if you take Dublin, you take Cork, you take Galway, we can look at additional plants and additional plants being desalination, my favorite at the moment, as I said, purely because I know that you only need to use them when you get to a situation like this. Second part, we do need to increase the level of repairs on our water pipes. And the third part, well, then we look at the major infrastructural projects. And the major infrastructural projects, yes, pulling from the Shannon across, but there are environmental impacts that we still don't know at this point.
Can I just ask you a final question on this, Paul? Uisce Éireann established, I mean, the most difficult traumatic birth that any public body could ever have. Now we are, what, 10, 12 years into Uisce Éireann's existence. Has it made things any better, or has it just made it worse?
The last couple of years, it's actually improved its operation. Part of that improvement of the operation was it taking more in-house staff rather than outsourcing the services. So for the first 8 to 10 years, it was really about outsourcing the services and getting third parties to do the maintenance. As they recruited staff from the local authorities and brought them back in-house to Uisce Éireann, it's actually improved its service. So I won't criticize it completely. But one of the big challenges with going with a central body is that we lose the local support that's needed. I'm a secretary of a local water scheme, and without the local authority support, we don't get Uisce Éireann support, we wouldn't be able to sustain ourselves and maintain ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to note that local, I think it's 16% of our water supplies are local water supplies, and they tend to be forgotten in this story. And you'll find that many of them are not having as major a problem as something like the Dublin region, where we've got the Uisce Éireann in charge.
Not everybody. Like, I have a well, and I'm kind of sitting there going, I'm lucky to have a well, because none of this applies to me, because I put the infrastructure in myself. Paul Davis, lecturer in public procurement at DCU, thank you very much for joining us.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.